Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
Come on, if you want to go deeper in Him tonight, would you lift up your hands and voices? Would you lift up your hands and voices and close everything else out for just a moment? Jesus, we need you in this room. God, take us where you want to take us tonight. In Jesus' name, let's love Him together for just a moment. Would you do it? Come on, the hand clap is awesome, but let your voice out louder than your hand clap. Lift up your voice to Jesus right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. What a high honor and privilege it is for my family and I to be in section one tonight. Amen. God bless you. I've got a few people I want to honor, but I give honor to every student that's in this room tonight. You've taken time to be in God's house. Thank you for being here. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them with me, if you will, to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. And while you're turning or looking on your smart device or looking at the screen, I want to say again what a high honor it is to be here. I give honor in his absence to our presbyter, Brother Dixon, such a good, godly, pure-spirited man. I honor him and Sister Dixon tonight. I don't believe Pastor Harmon is here. I know he wasn't earlier. Is he here? Is he not? In the other building. Well, he's a Sunday school guy. That makes sense. That makes sense. Amen. So I honor Pastor Harmon. Amen. Brother Harmon called me or contacted me about a year ago, and he said, Brother Dutton, I'd like you to come to the Central Church. And our schedule didn't allow for us to be here on a Sunday, but we were here three straight Wednesday nights in the month of April or May, I believe it was, last year. And absolutely a God-ordained series of services here at the Central Church. I honor Brother and Sister Harmon, love them and appreciate them. Tonight, our youth president, our youth director of promotions, Brother Miller, Brother Cook, we honor you tonight. God bless you. Love these men, and I honor them and esteem them highly. To every pastor that's in this room, God bless you. I know Brother Soden's here, and there may be others. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. I honor my wife tonight. I love her very, very much. And appreciate her and I honor her. Brother and Sister Robinson, God bless you. I have met them one other time prior to tonight. We bumped into each other at the bookstore because of the times a few years back. And we'll have to talk about this after service. It was either Sister Robinson or her sister. They do sort of kind of halfway look alike. It was either one or maybe both of them that were Bible quizzers at FPC when I was 87 years ago, the Bible quiz master for the district. And so we do have that connection. I don't really know Brother and Sister Robinson, but I can tell you this much with a good degree of certainty. Just meeting them, really meeting him and talking to him. I just feel like I can say this, and I don't have any fear of being wrong when I say this. Brother Robinson has a great spirit about him. And I'll deal with your other youth director over here in just a minute, your former youth director in just a minute. I got lots of stuff to say about him. But once Brother and Sister Cook felt the direction that they were not supposed to allow their name to run. I'm not in section one, so I don't have a dog in this fight. but I just think you elected the right couple as your youth directors. And I honor Brother and Sister Robinson very highly. You're going to do a great job on this youth committee, and I honor you tonight. You'll find out what those of us that, because again, 47 years ago, I was on the committee, another lifetime ago, and you'll find out that you'll build relationships on that committee that will last you the rest of your life, and you're gonna do awesome. And so we honor you tonight. God bless you. Thanks for, he didn't have much choice as to whether I preach this rally or not. He kind of got stuck with me, but he could have canceled me anyway, I suppose. He could have told me there was a new sheriff in town, and you know, but he let us come, and I appreciate that. I really do. I don't take that lightly. And I give high honor, not just to the Robinsons tonight, but to Brother Devin and Sister Kristen Cook. I was blessed to preach a youth event in the Mississippi District a few years ago, and sitting between me, and it was me and then our district superintendent at most of the services, Brother Tipton would sit right next to me, and then on the other side of Brother Tipton was the youth directors from Section 1 all the way through 11. And one night Brother Tipton either couldn't be there or maybe he was running a little late, and this guy just leaned over to me and said, "Hi, I'm Devin." And that was really my first introduction. I knew he didn't know me that well because he introduced me to speak that first morning and he referred to me as a Bible teacher. And I'm like, yeah, this guy has not met me at all. He does not know who I am. But Devin Cook has become one of my closest friends in the last 3 years. And I honor him and Sister Kristen. Thank you for the invitation. He did give me the invitation a few months back. We were supposed to be here last month. He didn't mean to stick you with me, Brother Robinson. The weather just didn't cooperate with us last month. And you'll get to pick your own guy next time. Hallelujah. There's hope in sight. Amen. Thanks for letting us. Anybody that had a part of us being here, you wouldn't have a hard time finding a better preacher than me to fill this pulpit. But you'd have a really hard time finding somebody who was happier to be here and just thrilled to be here than my family. And I were delighted to be with you tonight. I feel a very definite direction of the Holy Ghost. And I've not come here lightly. I've come here seeking the mind of God. And I'm going to try tonight to deliver to you what I feel very certain the Lord has delivered to me. If you have your Bibles again, looking either at your Bible or device or the screen. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I want you to skip down one more verse, skip a few verses down to verse 12, and we'll just read the last half of this verse. Jonah's talking now, and well, we'll read the whole verse. He said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth," verse 12, "cast me forth into the sea." And watch what he says. "So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake," everybody say "my sake," "this great tempest is upon you." I want to preach what I feel very strongly in the Holy Ghost tonight. I want to talk to some young person tonight about being stuck in Jonah's storm. Stuck in Jonah's storm. Would you lift up your hands and would you pray for yourself right now that God would speak to you? Come on, everybody in this house, would you pray that God would speak to you tonight in Jesus' name? I love you, Lord. I honor you and I thank you for your goodness. God, I praise you. I magnify you. I pray, God, that you would speak. I know I'm the preacher tonight, God, but I'm asking you to speak to me. Talk to my heart. God, you came here to give hope tonight. You came here to give help tonight. God, would you touch us and would you help us? Would you minister in this house? God, let ministry fill this house tonight. In Jesus' name, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please be seated. I do want to take just a moment to give recognition and honor to this amazing praise team tonight. They did a great job leading us in worship. God bless them. I know tonight that I have the great honor and privilege to preach primarily to young people, mostly teenagers, young adults. And I know there are some older individuals here today in this room that have more life experience than the young adults to whom it is my assignment to preach. But I think that everybody here has lived long enough to know that life has its share of problems. Life has its share of trouble. Life has its share of storms. And the unfortunate truth that I must preach to us on this Friday night is that sometimes the trouble that comes to us, the problems that surround us, and the storms that come upon us are a direct result of our own actions. How many of you tonight know that actions have consequences? Sometimes those actions and consequences may not really be all that big of a deal, but other times they are absolutely a big deal. I remember being in kindergarten a long time ago, and it saddens me to know that most of the young people in this room will not know what I'm fixing to, I don't think, I haven't been to school in a while, so maybe they still do this, but you may not understand or have seen what I'm going to refer to, but I remember being in kindergarten, and I was on the very front row, and the teacher wheeled into our class Everybody say focus. You got to let me finish the statement. See, she wheeled a cart into our class. I feel like Sister Miller's about to heckle me here. Hey. She wheeled a cart into our class that had three shelves on it. And on the top shelf, there was what we old people refer to as an overhead projector. And she turned the projector on and then headed toward the back of the class. But before she left, she said, "Now don't touch this projector because it's warm and I don't want you to get hurt." So of course, Brother Robinson, as soon as she was away from me, I stood up in my chair and put my hand on the projector, and that was the first time that I had to write my name on the blackboard. Because insignificant and small as it may be, actions do have consequences. And if that was the worst thing I ever did in my life, I'd be in good shape. But on a more serious note, I can take you very near a spot where I was standing several years ago, just going about my day, when, Brother Soden, I don't just think that God spoke to me. I know that He spoke to me and said, "Aaron, there's a situation in your life." And He showed me, and I knew, understood what He was saying to me. "You need to remove yourself. Stay away from this situation." And I understood it was the voice of God. And I knew enough about the situation to understand there's trouble there. And so for about a month, I pulled myself back from that situation and all was well. But after about a month, I got to looking at it and, "Oh, it won't hurt me. You know, I could, it's not that big a deal." So even though I had the voice of God telling me to leave it alone, I didn't leave it alone. And when I tell you, that was one of the worst mistakes of my life. And when I tell you I had to reap consequences from that action for a long time thereafter. Because actions have consequences. And choices, you know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians that whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But there is a good side to that verse. He that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. So when you, it's really pretty simple, but when you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. But when you sow good things, you're going to reap good things, because life is made up of sowing and reaping. And I preach to people tonight that you could stand here and tell of times in your life, I did this good thing and I reaped this good result. Or I did this bad thing and I had to deal with this bad result. Because sometimes we are responsible for the good that comes into our lives. But the inconvenient truth is that we are also the ones oftentimes to blame for the trouble that comes into our lives. We do things that we know we shouldn't do. We make choices and decisions. We do something. We say something. And then as a result, we have to reap consequences from those actions or words. Such was the man Jonah. Such was the case for the man Jonah in our text here tonight. The Bible is very clear, and I'm not here to give you a history lesson, so I'll move quickly tonight. But the Bible is very clear that Jonah was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. He was somebody who knew the voice of God, and he knew how to speak the word of God. According to 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, the Bible tells us that Jonah prophesied that God would restore the coast of Israel, and that's what happened. So he knew the voice of God, and he knew how to prophesy correctly, so he's off to a good start. But most of us today, if you know Jonah's story, what we really know about him is what we started to read in our text. Jonah chapter 1 tells us that the word of God came to Jonah. Verse 2 of chapter 1 said, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah, he wants none of Nineveh. Again, I'm not here to give you a history lesson, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but if you study it out, Ninevites hated preachers. And they would do horrible things to preachers they didn't like. Absolutely horrible. And I used to preach early in my ministry, Brother Miller, you know, Joseph didn't go to Nineveh because he was scared of what they would do to him. But that's not true. Jonah is very clear why he doesn't go to Nineveh. Jonah doesn't try to hide why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want Nineveh to be saved. Because in the end of the story, when Nineveh does get saved, Brother Robinson, he says in chapter 4 and verse 2, "Was not this the saying that was when I was yet in my own country? I fled to Tarshish because I knew you were a good God. I knew they were going to pray. I knew this would happen. And I didn't want it to happen." I mean, I don't claim to be a good preacher here tonight, but I promise you, if somebody gets the Holy Ghost tonight, I ain't going to be upset about it. I'm not going to be like, "Well, Brother Robinson, you can just find somebody else to preach your next youth rally if you're going to have a move of God around here. That's unacceptable." No, I mean, Jonah's upset. He doesn't want Nineveh. He doesn't want God to forgive them. And so intent was he that God not forgive Nineveh that he says, I can't preach to them because I know if I preach to them, they just might repent. And if they repent, I know God's going to forgive them. And we can't take the chance of that happening. So here's what he decides to do in chapter 1 and verse 3. He rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish and paid the fare thereof. He went down to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jonah was from a place called Gath-Hepher. He was told to go to Nineveh. Gath-Hepher is about 500 miles away from Nineveh. Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish. Tarshish is approximately 2,500 miles away from Nineveh. It's one of the furthest places away he could possibly go. He tries to get as far away from Nineveh as he could, and actions have consequences. So God sends a storm to Jonah because of what He has done. And we could preach tonight about how when you disobey God, sometimes you get into a storm. But honestly, all that I have just preached to you in the first 10 minutes of this sermon has just been kind of a setup for what I feel to preach to us about tonight. Because Jonah is on a ship. But it's not like he's the only one on the ship. The Bible lets us know, obviously, there were others on that boat. And it's those that I came to preach about tonight. Because it's easy to see that Jonah was in a storm because Jonah disobeyed God. And it was easy to see that Jonah was in a storm because Jonah was the one to blame. And he's the one who had made the choice. And he is the one who had made the decision. And what I have felt in the last few days in praying and preparing for this service, that as it was with Jonah, so it is with somebody in this room on this Friday night. You know, we do things that we shouldn't do and we get ourselves into a storm. But I should say this. The people on the boat, they're just out for a boat ride. They're just trying to get from Joppa to Tarshish. And Jonah understands. Jonah knows. Jonah tells them in chapter 1, verse 12, my fault. I know, hey, if you'll pick me up, this is how bad Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah just said, throw me overboard and whatever will happen will happen. At least y'all will have a good rest of the trip. Because I know the only reason there's a storm going on for you is because of what I have done. And in the last few days, now you're going to hear me say this a few times tonight. Because this is what I, there's a couple things I really wrestled with trying to figure out how, not what to preach. I knew what to preach. The Lord was letting me know what to preach, but I wrestled with how to preach it. So if you're a note taker, or at least make a mental note of this. You know, Brother Miller, I promised myself growing up in church that I wouldn't say this, but if you forget everything else I say tonight, don't forget this. This sermon, everybody say this sermon, is not about assigning blame. I am not here for you to sit here and make a checklist and say, well, if they hadn't have done this, then I wouldn't be in this storm. But the truth of the matter is, somewhere in this room is a young person in section one that finds yourself in a storm, not because of choices you have made, but because of decisions, words, and actions of others. The people on board Jonah's boat are just trying to get from Joppa to Tarshish. The Bible does not explicitly state that God is upset with anybody else on the boat except for Jonah. And I felt so directed in preaching to somebody in this room that you find yourself in a storm, but it is not of your making. It is somebody that did something or said something. They took an action and it was something that you had no control over. You see, the people on the boat, they don't know about Nineveh. They, until Jonah told them at least, they didn't know that God had told Jonah to go preach. They're just looking to take a trip. They have nothing to do with Jonah's decisions, but yet they are stuck on Jonah's boat. And the fact that they were on Jonah's boat meant that all of a sudden they found themselves in Jonah's storm, because they found themselves involved with somebody who had made a bad choice. They found themselves in close proximity who had said something or done something that they should not do. And I preach, and I'm telling somebody, I believe in the Holy Ghost tonight. You've walked into this room and you're saying, Brother Dutton, my whole world has been rocked lately, and I didn't make the choice, and I didn't make the decision, and I really don't know what to do. I'm going to preach a little hope to somebody tonight. I'm going to preach a little hope to somebody tonight. I preach to somebody that's in a storm you didn't ask for. You're in a storm you didn't request. You're in a storm that's not your fault. But the fact that it's not your fault and you didn't ask for it and you didn't request it, that doesn't mean you get to avoid it. You are in a storm. You are in a boat. You're in Jonah's boat. And because you're in Jonah's boat, you're in Jonah's storm. And I can't stress to you, I'm telling you, I wrestled with this, and I can't stress to you, but don't sit here, don't leave this building and go home to some friend or some acquaintance and say, well, that preacher said. This sermon is not about assigning blame. This sermon is to give somebody hope. That whether the storm is your fault, and there's a pretty decent chance there's young people in here that are in a storm because of some choices you have made. But there's hope for you tonight too. The point of this sermon is to tell you that whether the storm is your fault or whether the storm isn't your fault, God is still in control. He's still in charge. And He, whether you feel like it or not, He still has your world in the palm of His hand. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it was that the Lord started pressing this into my spirit. The other thing, Brother Soden, that I started wrestling with was, okay, God, I know this is, believe this is you. You're talking to me for section one. But the issue I have with this is the way that the people on Jonah's boat got out of the storm was they tossed Jonah overboard. And some circumstances, young people, are not that easily dealt with. You can't just, there's some things you can't just snap your fingers and they're gone. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you're not just caught in Jonah's storm. Sometimes you are stuck in Jonah's storm. Sometimes you're saying, Brother Dutton, I hear you, I believe you, you're preaching to me, but there's some storms, brothers and sisters, that you can't just snap your fingers and extricate yourself from. You're just kind of in it. So what then? And I asked, I was asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, I believe you're talking to me, and I believe you're trying to give me some direction, but what about the young people who will come in Friday night and who will say, Brother Dutton, I hear you. And yes, I am not just caught in Jonah's storm, but I'm not just caught in it. I'm stuck in it, and I don't see a way out, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't see how I can free myself of that. And as I begin to pray, it just, in my spirit, it just dropped. Acts chapter 27. I'll give you some very brief backstory. The Apostle Paul is on another ship. He's a prisoner, actually, and he's on the ship with over 100 other prisoners, and they're on their way to Rome. He's on his way to eventually appear before Caesar and give testimony concerning this Christian way to Caesar. He's on a ship, and before they ever left, he looks at them in Acts 27 and verse 10, and he says, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be met with much harm and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion, that's the guy that's helping guard the prisoners, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things which were spoken by Paul. Paul stands there and says, I wouldn't do this if I were you. I wouldn't leave. I ain't got a good feeling about this. And the centurion says, you're just a prisoner. I'm going to choose to believe the other guy. Two verses later, verse 13, against Paul's advice, they leave. And only one verse after that, Acts 27 and 14 says that not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. So here the Apostle Paul is. He said, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't advise you to do this. I don't think this is a good idea. And through no fault of his own, they do it anyway. And now he's in a storm. But now he's not just caught in a storm. It's a named storm, kind of like Katrina. You just name the really bad ones. And it's not like you can just jump overboard and make a swim for it, you know. They're in a violent storm, because sometimes you're not just caught in a storm of somebody else's making. Sometimes you're stuck in a storm of somebody else's making, and there's no way out. And what hope do you have then? What hope do you have when you're stuck in a storm that you didn't create? I'll tell you what hope you have. Just 7 verses after the Bible tells us they were stuck in a storm, Paul stands up in verse 21 and says, look, I told you not to do this. You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. You should have listened to me. But now that's over and done with, and I've got good news. Verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to lose the ship, but the good news is nobody else is going to die. How did he know that nobody else would die? Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. And this is just what I felt the Holy Ghost kind of click in my spirit. Aaron, you go tell them when they can't get out of their storm, you let them know that when they can't get out, I know how to get in. You let them know when they're stuck and they don't see it. You let them know, I'll walk on the water if I have to, but I know where they are. I'll send an angel to them if I have to, but I know where they are. Let me tell you, Brother Dutton, I'm stuck and I can't get out. It's all right. He knows the way that you take. And if he has to walk in your storm, he'll walk in your storm. He'll walk in your world, because you might not can get out, but he can get in. If he has to send an angel to you, he'll send an angel to you. When you're stuck going, hey, God, look, I told him not to do it. I tried. And now I'm stuck, and it's not my fault. Then if he has to send an angel to you, he'll send an angel to you. If he has to walk on the waves of your world to get to you, he will walk on the waves of your world to get to you. But he's not going to leave you alone. When you can't get out, he can always get in. So the angel, watch what the angel says. The angel says in verse 24, thou must be brought before Caesar. Remember, I told you the whole point of the voyage, as far as Paul was concerned, was he felt he had a destiny. I've got a calling of God on my life to go testify before Caesar. And so that's why the angel shows up and says, you're going to do what I called you to do. The storm's not going to stop your calling. I didn't talk to Brother Robinson beforehand about what I was going to preach. I guarantee you, he wrote his keynote address before he and I had much of any conversation, really. But I'm going to preach to somebody today that, just like he talked to you about, there's some things in your past reaching up. Look what happened to you. There's no way you could step into the calling that God has for you. But I'm telling you, when you're stuck in a storm, things that you didn't start, things that you didn't orchestrate and you have no control over, I'm telling you, God has a call on you that's greater than what others may have done. God has a word that can reach to you in your world. I'm telling you, you're still anointed. You're still called. You're still direct. God is going to do for you, through you, in you, and with you what he told you he would do. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 simply says it like this: the word of God is not bad. compound. I preach to some young person in this room that you feel like you're trapped in a storm, but the hand of God that's on you is not trapped. The call of God, when you laid awake at night and you try to sleep, but you feel God pulling on you, saying, I want to do something with you. I want to use you. That calling, young person, you may feel trapped, but that calling's not trapped. That calling's not bound. The word of God that's come to you and been spoken over you is not bound. And you may feel like you can't get out of your storm, but he knows how to come to you. He knows how to make his word come to pass in your world. He knows how to fulfill every word of prophecy, every unction that you have felt, every time you felt, God's going to use me and God's going to speak through me. And the devil said, oh no, after what they did, after what's after the storm you're in, hey, young person, you may feel trapped, but the word of God is not trapped, and God will come to you. He can come to you where you're at. There's certain people in the Bible. Would you lift your hands with me and let's just love the Lord for a moment? I preach that whether the storm is of your own making or whether it's not, God still knows how to walk in your world. Come on, let's love him. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Let your voice out, young people. God's going to confirm his word in this house tonight. There's going to be ministry that comes into this room tonight. Come on. We got time for this. Just give vent to what you feel for just a moment right now. Let the Holy Ghost just kind of settle on you. Brother Dutton, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for that doctor's report. It just happened. I didn't ask for them to make that choice. It just happened. I didn't ask for them to make that decision. It just happened. Hey, shata rekio soto, erekia mohuria satararabaya. When you can't get out, I'm not killing time. I know where I'm supposed to go, but I'm telling you, I feel something just kind of hovering over us for a moment. Would you just love him? Come on. God wants to minister to a young person in this house. The devil's been beating you up. Somebody needs to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. There's a spirit of utterance in this room right now. I'm telling you, it's here. Would you lift your hands and give the Lord some praise right now? I close, musicians help me, I close with this. Some years ago, I was in the state of Michigan. Please don't let me lose you in the next 3 minutes because I really am finishing right here. I'm in the state of Michigan. I'm preaching on a Sunday morning in Sturgis, Michigan. I don't drive. I don't have a driver's license. And so there were some young people from Sturgis. We went out to lunch that day, and then they were going to drive me that afternoon from Sturgis, Michigan to Saginaw, Michigan. And again, why we did it, a lot of you young people won't even know this was a thing back in the day, but we all had iPhones, smartphones, so why we didn't just use the GPS on our phone, I'll never know, but somebody went to MapQuest.com and printed out turn-by-turn direction, how to get there. And it worked out okay. I'm in the passenger seat giving instructions to the driver. You know, turn right up here, turn left up here. And we get on this road. I'm like, okay, get up here and turn left or whatever. And Brother Cook, we're going to be on this road for like 30, 40 miles or whatever. So I got a little time to scan the directions. And I'm looking down and I read all the directions. Turn here, turn here, turn here. And then eventually, you know, arrive at your destination. And then below all that, at the very bottom of the page, in really, really small letters, was this notation. When you get to such and such a road, and it named a road you were going to need to get from Sturgis to Saginaw. When you get to such and such a road, make sure the road still exists. And I'm like, what in the world? You mean to tell me we could just get to a place where there's supposed to be a road? Maybe where there used to be a road? It's a road we need to get from where we are to where we need to go. And it's just not there anymore. How does that happen? But you know what I feel like? I feel like I'm preaching to students in section one that the devil's been telling you after what you've been through, there ain't a road. The road no longer exists that can get you from your storm to that calling that we just heard about a moment ago. Nah, God could never use you. God could never love you. After the storm you've been in, look what's happened to you. Look what you've done. Look at the mistakes you've made. The choices you... There's not a road. But I tell you in Jesus' name, there will always be a road. There will always be a road. The road still exists, young person, that will take you from your goof up to His grace. From your mess up to His mercy. And from your calamity to His calling. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what storm you will head home tonight to, or that you will encounter in the next few weeks, that you didn't create it. You're just in it. And I'll say it one more time. This sermon is not about assigning blame. It's about preaching hope to somebody in this room. That God knows where you are. And whether the storm is your fault the storm is somebody else's fault. You know, there are some storms, ladies and gentlemen, that are nobody's fault. They just happen. Life is just life sometimes. And when you're stuck in the storm and you can't get out, He knows how to get to you. As we just heard a few moments ago, you're still called. You're still anointed. And you're still appointed. The people that were on Jonah's boat could tell you. The Apostle Paul in Acts 27 could tell you. The storm has an ending to it. If you'll just keep doing what you know to do. Isaiah, God thundering through the pen of Isaiah said it like this. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the fire, you won't be burned. Some things, brothers and sisters, you just have to go through. But you are going to come through. So Jesus, now, God, I believe you've already helped us. But God, I believe there's another move and wave of the Holy Ghost that is yet to come in this room. God, I pray that you would minister in this house to the young person who says, I don't see a way out. I don't see how God could love me after all this. I don't see how God could use me after all this. God, would you give them assurance? Would you give them hope? Would you give them peace? And would you give them courage and determination to go another mile, I pray. In Jesus' name. And together as one voice, let us all just say amen. I know a sermon like this can be difficult to come to the altar. We're not here to point you out. We're not here to put a spotlight on anybody tonight. So here's what I want you to do. Would you just stand with me? I know we're all going to go eat something in a little while, and that's great. But we need more than just a minute or two before we all go our separate ways. So would you just turn to the person beside you? If they don't want to come, certainly don't make them come, but just give them the opportunity. Hey, would you like to walk with me to the altar? And as many that would you just walk with me right now? You can stand here, you can kneel here, but somebody needs to get alone with Jesus for just a few minutes and say, God, God, I don't have a lot of control over this. I'm in a storm that I didn't ask for, God. I'm in a storm that I didn't ask for, God. I didn't order this up, but God, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me? God, when I can't get out, would you send your word to me? Would you send your voice to me? Come on, young people, let your voice out. Don't be afraid to let tears fall in this house. There's ministry that's going to happen in this room right now. God's going to come to somebody in your storm and let you know that all is well. He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you in your world. Come on, that's it. Thank you already. Youth workers, youth pastors, thank you already for helping us in this altar. Pastors' wives, thank you. Thank you. Come on. I know it's Jonah's boat, and so it's Jonah's storm. But even somebody else's storm has an ending date to it. You're going to come out of this. You're still called. You're still called. You're still anointed. And you're still appointed. The storm didn't change that. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, you must be brought before Caesar. The call of God must come to pass in your life. The storm doesn't change that. Come on, they're going to begin to sing in just a moment, but don't let their singing silence your voice. Let your voice out. Let the tears flow.